Over the next few weeks, we will be dealing with a very important topic for the Christian. Okay, this has to do with growth and victory as part of our Christian life. And hopefully we have a better understanding of why we fall, why we stumble, or why, how come someone can be stronger than someone else spiritually. Okay, so God has given us very clear principles in the Bible because of Christian growth and victory. And you find that it's parallel a lot to the different vocations of areas that we are in, right? So we'll have a word of prayer. Then after that, we will memorize Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, okay, from last week. And then after that, I'll go into the 12 principles, 12 truths we must know with regards to Christian growth, right, over the next few weeks. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer first. Heavenly Father, as we humble our hearts, thank you. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can be in your house. We're so thankful that we can just take time away from everything else and just sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ as he teaches us from his precious word. I know the Holy Spirit will impress on our hearts and convict us and teach us. I pray, Lord, that today we will get truth that will change our Christian life for better, that we will grow stronger both in our Christian life and how we face, Lord, life itself. Lord, life is something that you have given to us, and because we are Christians, Lord, it makes it even more pleasant to know that we can walk in a straight and narrow way for your honor, for your glory. I pray today as we look at the different areas of Christian, the truth that will help us understand Christian victory and growth, how we can be victorious in this life before we meet you. That our Holy Spirit and your word will teach us. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Our verse is Romans chapter 8, verse 2. I love this verse. Let's say it together. Okay, I think some of you say it together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. And it's a real blessing. Okay, I just want to say it in perspective of Romans. There is a law of God. The law of God is always good. But can the law of God save? The law of God cannot save. God's law just tells us what is right and what is wrong. Okay? Example, if thou shalt not steal, if you don't steal, you're right. But if you steal, the law of God actually condemns us. It cannot save us. Okay? So that's the law of God. Then there's a law of sin. The law of sin, for us, we can do nothing but sin. And as a non-believer, we are always under the law of sin. That's why non-Christians cannot please God. Because they will always do things not for God's pleasure, but for their own pleasure. So it's always selfishness. Okay? But the law of sin will always not want to obey the law of God. So we have an impasse. We have actually there's an enmity here. The law of God is always good. Law of sin is always bad. So how do we get them together? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ is the third law. When Jesus Christ saved us, he gave us his Holy Spirit in us. And when he gave his Holy Spirit in us, makes us alive. Spiritually, when we are alive, we can actually now listen to what God says, and God gives us the strength to do what he wants us to do. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important for us as Christians to submit to the Spirit of God. Okay? Today we're going to talk all about that, and hopefully it gives us a better understanding. Okay? This will be a memory verse for... the memory verse is 2 Peter 1, 5 to 10. All right? They will be over the next 4 weeks. All right? Next 4 weeks. Okay, but this first part is your memory verse. I just want to give it to you first. Okay, let's go ahead and get started first. Okay, when a believer comes to Christ, send to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, give you introduction. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Okay, for Sunday Bible hour, what my direction is that we will turn to the Bible so we get used to it. I will just put references up there so that you can actually get used to your Bible. Write things in your Bible. It's okay to have a scribbled Bible, okay, so that you can remember things. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. That means not according to what we've done. There's no good works. According to his mercy he saved us. But according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The word regeneration comes from the word Genesis, okay? Genesis means beginning, beginnings. Basically, regeneration is new beginning. So when God saved us, He made us new again. That's the idea of being born again. Okay, how did God do that? He regenerated by the washing of away of our sins. Washing of regeneration. Okay, last time we were old and sinful, but because of the blood of Christ, He washed us clean. We are regenerated. Okay, that means we are new people. Alright? God gave us not only the regeneration, but also He gave us a holy nature. A holy nature. You know, all of us who are Christians, who have trusted Christ, you have a new nature. And this new nature is holy. But you know what? The old nature is still present. How do I know? All of us are aging, right? All of us are aging, right? I hope we have to admit that we're aging. Okay? Last time our muscles were up here. Now our muscles are down. We're all aging. Okay, after 50 years old, apparently your hormones go down and things just go down very fast. Okay, the old nature is still in us. That's why our eyesight is not good. The old nature, but we have the new nature, but we also have the old nature. And this is an important truth for us as a believer. There is the ongoing presence of sin in the Christian's life. Sin is never eradicated because of our own nature. We're talking about Christians who have trusted Christ, Christians who have put their faith in Christ, and they want to live for God, and they want to do what is right. But everywhere in the New Testament, there is the ongoing, all the apostles assume that there is sin still in our lives, okay? And let's go to passages. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. People on my left, read 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Ready? People on my left, ready? 1, 2, go. Okay. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, everywhere you find the apostles always instruct the believers, put away sin, put away sin, put away sin, put away the old man, put away malice, put away lying, put away stealing, put away adultery, put away fornication, put away immorality. It's always put away, put away. Why? Because the assumption, not just the assumption, the reality is in all of us, there is the reality of sin. Sin still reigns in us. Or rather, still, sin don't reign in us. Sin is still present with us. Okay? Sin is still present with us. And that's a very important truth that we need to always remember. Okay? So, let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Because sin is always in us, as a new believer, we also have the new nature of God. What happens? In Romans 7:21-23, this is a very important passage for every Christian. And I hope, Ambassador, we will realize this and we will be sympathetic, we will be gracious, we will be compassionate, but we will be firm, all right? With regards to the fact that, yes, we are sympathetic, we are compassionate, that every new Christian or Christian do struggle. But we have to be firm that we will not tolerate sin in the believer's life. Not because we don't like the person, but the person must come to the place of understanding there is a spiritual war going on inside of you. A spiritual war. As a Christian, you will fight. You will have to fight. If you don't fight as a Christian, let's say if you do something and it doesn't affect your conscience, I can sadly say there's a big question mark about your salvation. Because every believer in Christ will have the war in your hearts, okay? In Romans 7:21-23, that's what Paul says. I find then a law is something that's unchangeable, that will happen on. That when I would do good, I want to go to church, I know it's a good thing to go to church, evil is present with me. My friend called me up, or I want to go this place. I'd rather enjoy myself at Rasa Sentosa, a resorts world or something like that. You know, I find that a lot, that when I would do good, do the right thing, the Bible says, evil is present with me. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That means the new nature that God gave us, I delight in it. I want to do right. I believe everyone here who are Christians said, yes, Brother Johnny, I don't know your heart. God does. God knows every Christian wants to do right. But then Paul says in verse 23, but I see another law in my members fighting against the law of my mind. I know I need to do right. That's in my mind. But then another law says, if you do this, I tell you, you're going to give all your friends, you know, your friend won't love you anymore, and you cannot enjoy those things anymore, oh, poor thing, you know. And then there's a struggle, should I not? That's the law going on in every Christian's heart. Okay, that is the law. You know, if you're, as Christians, we need to realize there is a spiritual battle going on inside of you. Okay, there is a spiritual battle going on inside of you. And, you know, many Christians are, I've heard this many times, oh, you just have to stay close to God. You just have to stay close to God. You just have to stay close to God. And that is very true. That is the basic foundation. Okay? In the 1940s, when the Japanese came into, or when they were crossing the bridge into Singapore, it was bombed by the British, but then, you know, within overnight, they repaired it and they came in already. And these Japanese actually have tanks, fighter planes. They actually have, the soldiers were soldiers who have been fighting for the last 3 to 4 months down through Southeast Asia. You know what? Singapore got who? Who was that? Daly's Desperados. Have you heard of that? A group called the Delta Force. that say, hey, you teach us to fight. Okay? There's another group at Bukit Timah Hill who wanted to fight. You know what kind of weapons they have? Chopper, parang, broomstick. Oh yeah, their heart is patriotic, you know. How can they fight against the tanks? How can they fight against these Japanese soldiers who have been fighting for the last? They are battle-hardened soldiers. We have the heart. Many Christians have the heart. But what happened to all those Chinese? They died. They died. Why? Not because they don't have the heart. They don't have the skills and the equipment that God has so graciously given to us. Many Christians, you see, that's why when we say, hey, you need to look at the heart. Yeah, we need to look at the heart, but we need to also look at the fact that these Christians are not reading the Bible. They don't have the skills and the equipment to overcome. And in some churches, they teach that, oh, as long as you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you have spiritual victory. That's not true. Brother Chai Heng was sharing with me, he had a friend from another church. Okay, he's a Sunday school teacher, speaks in tongues, but when they had some relationship problems, he was depressed and all that. Brother Chai Heng, you know, he's very direct. Look at you. I thought you're very spiritual. Right? How come like that? Only as a Sunday school teacher, you just fall like that. You know, that's an experience of a lot of Christians. Because we have fallen for the lie that as long as your heart is close to God, you're fine. Satan wants you to believe that. He teaches you a half-truth. It's important to be close to God. But it's important to obey all that God says about the Christian life, so that we have can complete victory. Okay? I want to show you 12 truths very quickly, so that we can actually understand how we can actually have complete victory. Alright? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, there are 12 spiritual truths. I'm sure there are many more, but 12 truths that just for this lesson today. And to help you, I've already highlighted the key words for the quiz, but just for us to remember 12 key truths. 2 Peter chapter 1, the first key truth is the Christian growth. Okay, you're talking about growth as a Christian. Growing as a Christian, it flows from the abundant salvation that God has given to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, listen to the scriptures, okay? Look at the Bible as I read. According as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God's power has given us everything we need in relationship, in our life, and to how we grow as a Christian, godliness. Through the knowledge of Him that had called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of Him. Who's the Him? Who's the Him? Through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Who who have called us to glory and virtue, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. What does it mean? Verse 4, I go through again. God has given us all his Bible verses, the promises. God didn't just give us Bible verses. He gave us promises. Example, if I come to maybe Audrey and say, Audrey, I'm going to give you $20. That's what I said, right? Not Alwin, Alwin. Same thing, lah. Not the win, sorry. Okay, Alwin, okay. I'm going to give you $20, okay? I do have $20. So, he can take it in two ways. One, he can take it, you know, he just say one. Oh, I say, sure, huh? Do you believe I'll give you $20? Sure. After you claim it from me. Okay, so when I say that, versus whether I mean it or not, are two different things. Many Christians take God's word as just what he said, but don't take it as a promise. You know what I mean? We have to be very clear. When God said something, he will do it. So that we can be partakers. The word partakers means that we can actually receive and be like God, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. After we leave the world, God gave us his promises, when we receive it, that we might become like Christ, the partakers of the divine nature. Does that make sense? Any questions? At salvation, the believer has everything he needs to grow. All he has to do is to use it. I was just trying to think of an illustration for this. You know, for every person that goes into national service, okay, Alwin, you go into national service, right? Let's say that the sergeant says, hey, hello, Alwin, Robert, let's... when he goes to BMT, you say, where's your helmet?
Sir, I've got no helmet.
Why not, sir? I'm sergeant, understand? What? Where's your helmet? Where's your gun? What gun, sir? Your gun, gun. Where's your uniform? Sir, I've got no uniform. Then how to be a soldier? Sir, I thought I'd come, you give me one. Okay, in SAF, it's very clear. For every national serviceman, when they go, you go into national service, you are signed up for it. The SAF will equip you with everything, right, that you ever need to be a soldier. I say again, this is a very good analogy as a Christian soldier. When you have become a Christian, it's like a civilian in Singapore going to national service. Once you go into national service, they actually give you from top to toe, literally, helmet, uniform, I don't really give belt as well, right? Socks, even give you socks. Shoes, two pairs of each. And then they have Adidas one or Nike one, I don't know, Adidas one now. Okay, last time we got made in China one. Right, Mr. T? Made in China one. That one sure get injury. They give you all the things you ever need. You know what else they give you? They give you weapons. Or not give you, they let you have the weapon. So that they put grenades into here, not into you, so that when you fight the battle, you are fully equipped. The only thing the person needs to do is to know how to use all this. That's what God did. When we got saved, God gave us everything we ever need to win in the Christian life, to grow as a Christian. All we ever need to do is to learn to use it. Learn to use it. Okay? That's a very important lesson. Okay? So God has given us all things. Truth number two, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 says, and besides giving all this, adding to your faith. Christian growth is a process of adding to your faith. Adding to your faith. When we get saved, we only have one thing. You know what you have? Faith in Christ. That's all you have. That's all you have. The Christian life is about adding every good thing to that faith. Virtue and patience and long-suffering and resilience and able to stand in trials, putting on prayer, putting on hope, putting on the Christian armor, putting on all this. It's a process of adding. You know, many Christians today only have faith, even after 10 years of Christian life. And that's a sad thing. By God's grace, in Ambassador, we will change that. We will actually say, Lord, I have faith in Christ. Now, what else do I need to add? What else do I need to add? Some people, for many years, haven't known the Bible so well, but then suddenly they realize, hey, I need to know the Bible. Some people for many years, they haven't prayed. Hey, I need to pray. You know, I still struggle with prayer as a pastor, but you know, God has recaptured my heart. We need to pray. Prayer is so important to a Christian. Okay? Evangelist Ron Comfort said, you know, in America, the average time a Christian prays in America, you know how long per day? For all the Christians in America, they did a survey. Every Christian prays a maximum of 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes. If you are out of that, thank God for that. But you know what? What really convicted me, I took a further survey of how much time a pastor actually prays in America. It was an average of 9 minutes. And then Evangelist Ron Comfort said, no wonder we have all the problems we have. Because we're not communicating with God. I'm thankful. I know some of you pray much longer. Thank God for that. But those who haven't learned to pray, you need to learn. You need to put on prayer. There will be another 6 or 7 lessons. But the Christian growth is a process of adding. Next one. Christian growth is not instantaneous. Okay, it's not instantaneous. It does take adding. Let me read from 5 to 7. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. The word virtue means obedience or character. Have you met Christians with real character? Or do you only know of Christians who every little problems or obstacles come, they will say, I don't think Christian life will. We need character. We need character as a Christian. Okay? The Christian growth doesn't come overnight. The believer doesn't suddenly be perfect, have virtue, have patience, have charity. Growth is a gradual thing. You can't see a baby grow on a daily basis. We must therefore have faith and patience. And that's why for a believer in Christ, we need to be faithfully doing the things we know to be doing on a daily basis. Okay? We may not see the outcomes yet, but we know the outcome has become more and more like Christ on the daily basis. So it's not instantaneous. Okay? Our Christian life is a walk. It's not a run. It's not a leap of faith. It's a walk. Every single day. Okay? If you're not enough paper, there are 12 points. If you're not enough paper, you have to look at. Okay, the next one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Christian growth requires all diligence. The word diligence means you labor to the point of fatigue. In other words, you put in all your effort. Some of us study very hard for our exams. Some of us train very hard. Some of us work very hard. You know, I was just reading, I was just watching this person about how he was actually from a country that was oppressed by the Nazis, and so he constantly had this vision of wanting to escape, and then he used bodybuilding. Okay, and so what he did was he said, I think I want to be a bodybuilder so I can join competitions and really get out of my country under whatever, you know. And he said that when he actually got there, he trained 7 days a week for 5 hours. 7 days a week for 5 hours. Okay? After many years, he became Mr. Universe. 7 days a week, going to the gym, 5 hours of training every single day. You know? And it made him into someone. He's not a Christian, but you know that the fact of his perseverance, because something was so important. Christian growth needs diligence. Christian growth needs all diligence. The half-hearted Christian will not grow. The half-hearted Christian will not grow. The half-hearted Christian will not only not grow, they will hinder God's work and cause lots of problems for God's people. And that is something that is a painful truth. But unfortunately, the Church of Jesus Christ has been plagued by Christians who are half-hearted for Christ. And as a result, they become a burden to the people of God. When we should be spending, example, when we should be spending 5 hours out there winning souls for Christ, we're spending 5 hours trying to deal with problems that Christians have. Okay? It requires us to be diligent in every area, in prayer, in Bible reading, in being faithful to church, in how we treat our parents, and how we interact with one another, and how we need to forgive. And you find it hard to do certain areas. Say, Lord, I need to put more diligence in this. Okay? I remember when I was in the SAF, I failed my standard optical course. Okay? Well, that was very demoralizing. The standard optical course in the army, last time, I don't think they have it now, I may have, I don't know, you have to run 700 meters, okay, don't be scared, 700 meters, okay, then you cross 13 obstacles, and then you finish off with 600 meters of running to the end, and you have to do all that in 10 minutes, 30 seconds. Yes, no, sorry, 11 minutes, 30 seconds. And then when you go to OCS, they lower the standard, they increase the standard by lowering the... And so when I was in the recruit, I failed. I only one obstacle I couldn't cross, the low rope, okay? You know what they did? Johnny, go up again. You keep pulling and pulling because that is your weakest part and you have to work on it. You know what we are being taught today? Don't focus on your weakness, focus on your strength, right? You must see what the person is good at and then accentuate. That is good when it comes to skills, but when it comes to character, it's a very big difference. God wants us to be diligent in every area of our Christian life. When it comes to skills that doesn't affect character and morals, put away those things that are weak at, like drawing. I mean, if you're not good at drawing, never mind. Let's do something else, you know. But if we are lazy, if we are selfish, if we are proud, if we are easy to be angry, you know what God says? You put all diligence to deal with that. Because it affects people. So we need to put in diligence, okay, in our Christian growth. Let's turn to Revelation 3:15. I'll show you what the Lord Jesus Christ feels about half-hearted Christians. Revelation 3:15. I just read, listen. The Bible says, I know thy works. Jesus is saying, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Many Christians have taken this to be this. God, I'm not so hot for you. And since you say, I'd rather you be on fire for me or not on fire for me, so God, sorry, Lord, then I'll just be cold. Lord. That is not what Jesus is talking about. Okay? Okay? Because there's a middle category called lukewarm. What does it mean? If you go to Ephesus, I think Brother Henry and the family went there before. Maybe Sister Issa may have seen this before. She went to Israel. In Colossae, Ephesus, there's this long aqueduct that brings refreshing water to the country, okay? So when the water that are cold comes to the country, you know the best thing after a hot day of training is cold water. You can literally feel you feel so good, right? After you drink water, the water goes down, it's like, wow, you feel everything, you enjoy. That's what it means. In other words, the church was cold because it was refreshing, okay? The other aspects is the place that Laos this year was known for hot springs. Hot springs, like in Sembawang, we have hot springs. It's good for their mineral properties. Which means that when you put your leg in there, you can actually use it to cure some of the sicknesses. So when the people come to the church, Jesus wants them to be refreshing, cold, or when people come to get help, the Christians can actually help them. They are hot with minerals. But when cold water becomes lukewarm, when hot springs become lukewarm, they lose their properties. That's what Jesus is saying. Does that make sense? And that's why God says, because you are lukewarm middle, I will have vomit you out of my mouth. How many of you have drank warm Coke before? How many of you like warm Coke? You like warm Coke? Coke that's warm. You like, Jonathan, you like warm Coke? No? You like warm Coke? Are you allowed to drink warm Coke? You like warm Coke? How many of you like to drink coffee that is not very hot? Like lukewarm. It has this very sour taste and it's not very good, okay? The Lord Jesus says, some pastors, and it literally means the lukewarm Christian makes Christ sick. That's why he has to vomit us out of his mouth, okay? But God wants us to be diligent in our Christian life. Okay, the next one. Christian growth is an individual path. Let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Christian growth is an individual path and process. Add to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, bodily kindness, charity. All of us may be stronger in one area but weaker in something else. All of us, when we come to the Christian life, before we are Christian, we bring baggages, we bring problems from the past. That is individual. We cannot compare with one another. All of us have an individual Christian path to follow. We are together to support one another as we go through the path. But you carry different paths, okay? Like, for example, in a sport, some people may be bigger, some people may be smaller. The smaller one may go faster, the bigger one goes slower. But when we reach games that need the taller ones to win, the shorter ones will always lose. So all of us have different characteristics, and we cannot compare with one another, okay? We all have an individual path. Christian growth is to live by the new law which is in Christ. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, all the characteristics there are characteristics of Christ. Every single one of them. Patience, godliness, charity, all these are characteristics of Christ. Okay, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. For those who just come in, we're looking at God doesn't give us one formula for Christian growth and victory. He tells us there's a whole area of obedience to Christ that we need to have. Ephesians 4, verse 13. The Bible says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the stature of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is full. We are Christians just growing up. Our goal is to, until we reach to a unity of the faith in the church, the purpose of Christian discipleship, the lessons, so all of us will know that this is what the Bible says about Christian growth. This is what the Bible says about repentance. This is what the Bible says about baptism. This is what the Bible says about faith. This is what the Bible says about finding God. So all of us will follow that same pathway. All of us have different directions in life, not direction, different pathways in life, but you are still following the same, and we're all working together so that we all come mature. Some may be here, 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 but you know, we're all moving towards maturity in Christ. Does that make sense? The stronger helping the weaker, and then the weaker helping the more weaker, you know, that kind of, we're all moving towards that, okay? So that is the problem. Christian growth is to live by the new law which is in Christ, okay? The next one, Christian growth, go back to 2 Peter, requires patience because it takes time. We cannot say, I want to be a Christian, I want to be holy today, and so I do and do and do and do and do, forgetting that you need to pray, you need to read your Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. The word patience means going through things that you have no control over. That's the hardest thing for modern-day Christianity. Why? Because Christians today are trained. I want it now means I want it now. How many of you saw the video about this man shouting at the Malay lady at McDonald's in Haokang? Just argue, I want to see a manager now. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, hello, give the guy a break. You know, you only earn $6 an hour. I know Singaporeans want it now means want it now. You know. Some of us are guilty of that. You know, we want to see the manager because there's a cockroach in our food or whatever. We need patience in our Christian life. You know, when you go into a group, you can immediately know who is impatient and who is not patient. Who's impatient, who is more patient. You know, as a Christian, we need to be patient. Okay? In Christian growth. The next one. Okay, the next one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Now, this is important. For if these things be in you, and abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian growth guarantees fruitfulness. It guarantees fruitfulness. You know, many Christians do, but they don't find time with God. And after a while, they fizzle out. You know why? Because perhaps some people believe that service makes you more spiritual. But actually, it's time with God. Asking God to change, put away sin. We'll deal with that next week. But spend time with God, reading the Bible, putting on patience, putting on godliness, etc. These are the things, if it's in you, you'll be a fruitful Christian. You will be a fruitful Christian. Okay? The next one, 1 verse 9. But he that lacketh it, in other words, you don't have, and you're not growing in Christ, is blind and cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If a believer is not growing, it's going backwards. Listen carefully. If you're a Christian and you put no effort in your Christian life, don't think you'll remain there. You will go down. You will go down. You will go down. Okay? A Christian will go backwards if he is not growing. Backsliding makes the believer nearsighted and forgetful. That's what the Bible says. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. What does it mean? A Christian who cannot see heaven or cannot see the things of God, you know what his eyes will be focused on? Your studies, your work, your things in this life. He's nearsighted. Okay? He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So sometimes I hear people say, I was a Christian. If you are a Christian, you can never was a Christian. You're always a Christian. Okay? Backsliding makes a believer nearsighted. It makes you focus on the things in this life. And forgetful. Christian growth does not save, but it does prove one's salvation. Now let's just read in 1st, 2nd Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Let's take a look at the verse. Therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. When Peter said that, he's not saying, do all these things and your election will be sure. Okay? He's not saying that. He's saying, since you're a Christian, make sure you learn the lessons well so it gives you more confidence in your Christian life. Example, Jeremiah, I don't mind if I use your example in maths. Jeremiah, we're not good in maths in our family. Maybe my wife, okay, and Jairo. He's an US student. He has to do his math. He has to pass it. But over the last 1 week, he was trying to give all diligence to make his calling and election sure. How do I know? I mean, spending hours and hours staring at the maths question and trying to think and practice and call friends and meet up with friends outside. Please teach me and all that. And don't laugh, okay? Your son, you laugh. And then when you face the exam, then you know. Because if he don't pass this, he's got to do it again a whole semester. So his whole life is at stake here. No, not really. But he got to overload. But no, you know what he was doing? Is he a student already? Yes, he is. But what's he doing? You want to get past this as a student. Does it make sense? He wants to make sure that, hey, I don't want to do extra work. As a Christian, the evidence of our Christian life gives us confidence in a Christian. Okay? Those who profess Christ but do not live for Him have no biblical basis to call themselves Christians or to have eternal security. They have no Bible basis to say they're saved. And that's a scary thing. By the way, salvation is personal, yes, between you and God. But if you do not have the things to prove that you're a Christian, then you have no Bible basis to say you're a Christian. Example, what does a Christian do? What are some things that Christians do? What are some things that Christians do? Pray, okay, Christians pray, what else? Go to church, what else? Read the Bible, what else? Sharing the gospel, what else? What else? Obey parents? Obey authorities? Give? Being kind? self-control. Now, we do have weaknesses in the character areas, but these are things we do. But what if you're not interested in coming to church only on Sundays, you're not interested in Bible reading, you're not interested in prayer, you have no Bible basis to call yourself a Christian. Well, those are strong words, but you know, Peter is saying Christian growth, as you put in these things, helps you to, I'm a Christian, and thank God for it. But when you say, oh, I prefer the things of the world, I'm more distracted by other things, it actually discourages yourself. And over time, you will just put your faith aside. Okay? Those who profess Christ do not live for Him have no biblical basis to say they're saved. Let's turn to another verse. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, 19. I'm saying all this not to put doubts on your salvation, but I believe many of you will say, Brother Johnny, I'm saved. Well, then prove it. Do something about it. It's very serious business. You want a serious business for the men who will come for a man's discipleship? I'll just give you one point. We're talking about Noah. Noah lived for God. You know why did Noah build the ark? You know why did Noah build the ark? It was for his family. You read that verse. To the saving of his house. Noah was a man of faith because of his house. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. When he got Methuselah, the first son, after that he realized, hey, I better be the man of God I need to be. For the next 300 years, of the time he didn't die, he went up to heaven. For the next 300 years, he lived for God. Okay? In 2 Timothy 2:19, let's read together so that you will grasp the idea here. Okay? Ready? 1, 2, go. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, you know, that's an encouragement. God knows those people that are his. That's between you and God. But the second part is what? Let everyone that say you're a Christian leave sin. Get rid of sin in your life. Okay? Christian growth does not save, but it does prove your salvation. Okay? And the last one, Christian growth does not produce salvation, it produces rewards. Okay? Let's go back to 2 Peter, the last one. The Bible says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you are growing in Christ, when you face Christ, God will say what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay? So in summary, when we are saved, we have the new and the old nature. When we are saved, we have the new and the old nature. You understand this? This is very important. Now, in this lesson's forwards, I'm going to leave. I will probably come back and visit periodically, but I'll be leaving the whole area of salvation. I'll be leaving the whole area of salvation in terms of teaching of it. We need to be sure, because I'm moving forward to Christian growth. How we win in this Christian life for the next many months. And every lesson that you come every Sunday is how do I grow as a Christian? What are the things I need to put on? Okay? So the very starting point to understand that you have a new and an old nature. You are genuinely saved. You have put away sin. Then you can actually say that you're a Christian. Okay? You've repented of sin. Now, I'm not saying that. Okay, let me be clear. It's the full acknowledgement. I'm not perfect. I still have sin in my life. But I'm very sure without Jesus Christ, my sin can never be forgiven. And so I've repented of it. And when I see sin, sometimes I'm attracted to it. But immediately I say, no, I cannot do that. Why? Because my nature is changed. I'm a different person. I'm no longer one that wants sin. I will move away from it. Why therefore not be tempted anymore? No, because I still have the old nature, just like all of us. Okay? But you know what? A person who is a Christian will have victory over it. Okay? The next few weeks we'll talk about that. Okay? And next one is, there's a spiritual war inside of each of you who are truly born again in Christ. If you don't have a fight in your heart when it comes to sin, I can safely say you're not saved. Because a Christian cannot continue in sin and don't have the Holy Spirit to disturb you in your life. Okay? Sorry. There is not one key for victory, but it's a whole life application of the Word of God. No. That's why it's a sad thing that some people don't ever read the Bible. They will be in church for the rest of their lives and not growing as a Christian. you need to read the Bible. Okay, it's an application of your entire life. Okay? Next one. We need to learn the truth of growth. Truth of God for growth, okay, which is the 12th. I think that's it. Okay, no, sorry about that. And it's a day-by-day fight. Understand this. Some of you may be Christians for a long time and say, huh, I thought that person is very mature, you know. These Christians have been so strong for serving God and preaching hard. Hey, how come he suddenly fall? You know why? It's a day-by-day fight. Christians, understand this. Every day you wake up in the flesh. You still have your flesh. Your flesh say, hello, I'm here. You know, every single day. And you know what? The longer I'm a Christian, the more I realize every day I wake up, I better go to God first to be fully equipped. Prayer, Bible reading, praying, asking God to help me, fill me with His Spirit. It's a day-by-day fight. That's why preachers like myself can fall into sin and destroy the whole ministry, even though I've been a Christian for 35 years. Because Satan will attack you at your weakest point. That's why it's a day-by-day fight. So those of you who have been Christians for many years, don't ever think you won't fall into sin. You and I will fall into sin unless we stay close to God and apply God on a daily basis. All right? I hope we don't lose people to sin. I hope we don't lose people just because they are careless about their Christian life. And especially fathers, you need to guard your life. Mothers, you need to guard your spiritual life because Satan can destroy you at once. Just a wrong decision that you make in your life is enough to take your whole family away. And Satan is waiting for the opportunity. All right? It's a day-by-day fight. I'll give you the verses. Jesus says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. It's a day-by-day fight. The next one. And they continue daily. We want to call, why was the church strong? Because daily they were in the Word of God. Okay? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word of what we all read in the mind and search the words daily, search the scriptures daily. Every day they were in the Word of God. I share again, I told the man in the discipleship, there's no daily Word of God, no man of God. You need to be in the Word daily. It's a day-by-day fight. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus. I die daily. You know what Paul is saying? He died daily means that every time he wake up in the morning, he have to say this, Lord, I cannot depend on my own strength. Lord, you know I'm doing your work, and you know I'm tired, you know I'm weak, I need your strength. I die to myself. I will not depend on myself. Every time I need a decision, I will pray. Every time I need wisdom, I will ask you. Every time I need some things in my mind or I'm struggling against sin, Lord, you know that Paul, even after 20 years, he was struggling against sin. You know how I know? He wrote the book of Romans about AD 55. And that was about 20 years into his Christian life. He said, I still have struggle with my sin. Okay? But you know what he says? He always considers himself very weak. So that, and he died daily so that he is strong. It's a day-by-day fight. Okay. But exhort one another daily. Can I say this, an ambassador? Don't get angry when a Christian is concerned for your Christian life and come to you and say, hey, brother, let's pray. Or brother, how are you doing? Or sister, how are you doing? Don't get angry. Many Christians are angry. You know why? And sometimes when I ask them, how are you? They don't want to talk to me or they avoid me. You know why? But the Bible says, exhort one another daily. You know why? Because if we don't exhort one another, Satan is exhorting one another to do wrong daily. And the fact that you don't deal with your sin, do you realize that every day you don't deal with your sin, it just gets harder and harder and harder? Have you tried, you know, bread? Gardenia bread, when you first get it, very soft, right? You leave it outside for a few days, what happens? It becomes hard. And after a while, you just have to throw it away. Why? It's no longer fresh. Sin hardens. And that's why God wants us to daily encourage one another. Okay? Any questions? On Monday, when you go to the first thing you need to do before you go to work, man, is to pray, God, I die to myself. It's not going to be Johnny that lives. It's going to be Christ that lives. That's what it means to die. Hopefully, you all will keep coming. Next week, we'll talk about what it means by dying to yourself, what it means by freeing fear of the Spirit, all these things. Okay, if you truly want victory in your Christian life, practice what I just told you. That's all in the Bible. Search the Scriptures. All right? Any questions? So let's close in a word of prayer. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I pray. that everyone who has diligently tried to remember the points will not just remember in their mind, but remember in their hearts. The Lord, is a day-by-day fight that we need to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so much, Lord, for our salvation, but for our victory and growth. Bless the service to follow, we pray in Jesus' name.